This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For NATO, and then that meeting looms with Putin. This on the heels of the G7. The pipeline is bust, but boy, a lot of people are still reacting to what happened with the Keystone Pipeline. Sadly, a 25-year-old man is dead after an Austin shooting spree that left 14 people injured. Shocking stuff that happened right around 1:30 in the morning on Saturday. And there's a new man in place in Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu is out as prime minister, and instead Naftali Bennett is in. Wow. So 12 years he was the guy, and he couldn't get enough votes to make it happen this time around, lost by really one vote, 60-59. It's called a vote of confidence in a coalition, left-wing, centrist, right-wing, Arab parties kind of dealio. That's what this new prime minister is all about, saying he's going to lift the veil of one way and change it. In Tel Aviv, thousands turned out to welcome the result after four inconclusive elections in 2 years. That's how long it took. Hey, 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 hey. Kate Delaney, happy with you as always. The skipper of this ship with some choppy waters at times, but we are searching for the calm water, aren't we? Yes, we're tired of being pulled by the current. And that was kind of the situation in Israel. Some of the people were tired of being pulled in one direction. Netanyahu was pretty combative. He said he'd be back sooner than expected. He said, if we're destined to go into the opposition, we'll do so with our heads held high until we can topple it. That's what he said to Parliament. The new government plans to avoid sweeping moves on some of the hottest issues internationally, such as policy toward the Palestinians, and to focus instead on domestic reforms. Palestinians really had nothing to say about the changing of the guard, so to speak, with Bennett in instead of Netanyahu. Under the coalition deal, Bennett, a 49-year-old Orthodox Jew and high-tech millionaire, will be replaced as prime minister in 2023 by Yair Lapid, who is a former television host. And that's the whole idea of putting in place a different system. So this is definitely a whole new day for Israel. The U.S. President, Joe Biden, of course, congratulated Bennett and Lapid, saying he looked forward to strengthening the close and enduring relationship between the two countries. You know, Bibi was the longest-serving leader, prime minister, since 2009, after a first term from 1996 to 1999. I mean, he's the most dominant Israeli politician of his generation, without question. He was the face of Israel on any international stage. I mean, absolutely. And he resisted calls for Palestinian statehood. That was big, saying it was a danger to Israel's security. And he sought to bypass the Palestinian issue by coming up with diplomatic deals with regional Arab states on the back of some very shared fears of what would happen with Iran and what Iran could do. So now it's, like I said, a much different day. Bennett says renewal of a nuclear agreement with Iran is a mistake, an error that would grant legitimacy to one of the darkest and violent regimes in the world. Israel will not allow Iran to equip itself with nuclear weapons. So that is staying in place. But he has definitely inflamed right-wingers by breaking a campaign pledge to join forces with Lapid and having to fend off allegations from Netanyahu that he defrauded the electorate. And Bennett cited the national interest, arguing that a fifth election would have been a disaster for Israel, and instead to bridge the political divides. Ooh, arguing about politics and votes? That sounds familiar, doesn't it? But seriously, I mean, this is a big deal, and how does it affect the United States? I mean, this, and how does this all play out for the U.S.? That remains to be seen. It's just, it's brand new, and we'll see in the next 6 months, and then ultimately the next year. This is sad. 25 to die by some maniacs just shooting into a crowd is outrageous. But that's exactly what happened to Doug Cantor. He was shot. The bullet went through him. He was in pure pain and was fighting for his life. By the time he got to the hospital, he was dead. And there were so many others that were hit in this melee. One person in custody, another being sought. One suspect in custody, a second still at large. Not identifying any of the people, at keeping it very close to the vest. And apparently there was some kind of disagreement or disturbance between two parties, and the victims were innocent bystanders, but that's a lot of innocent bystanders. And especially in a district known for large crowds with bars and restaurants, 13 other people were wounded in gunfire. I mean, so this was like the Wild West, just opening fire. And, oh, well, we weren't really trying to hit all those people, but we accidentally hit all those people in between. It's just a terrible, terrible thing. And certainly for the family and friends of the man that died, the 25-year-old that died, who had nothing but who knows what in front of him, his whole life, I guess that's the best way to put that. There still is repercussions. You know, we look at the G7 and what came out of the G7, and there still is repercussions supposedly toward China that for what they're doing when it comes to human rights, etc. But at the summit where President Biden really pushed on that, there was no language that was adopted. There was nothing that had any kind of, as I said in a previous hour, teeth in it that would hold anyone's feet to the fire. So how to deal with China is just talk about it, and nothing specific has been laid out. So Western leaders have criticized Beijing's treatment of in several human rights incidents and things that have been done, but, and they've clearly said that at the summit, but confronting China over use of forced labor, etc. Germany, Italy, Japan, they haven't taken on China too forcefully. And I don't think they're going to do that. The Italian prime minister said, "We recognize the right of China to be an important economy, but we question how China does it." And that's pretty much where that really lays at this point. Concluding the summit, leaders announced that they would create alternative funding to China's massive Belt and Road Initiative, a $1 trillion infrastructure program focused on developing the world. And they were going to challenge China's non-market policies, again, and in respects to human rights. Raise the concerns, but where's the language? This is after 3 days of meeting and talking about a slew of different things. They agreed on vaccines and providing vaccines to countries who didn't have the money and didn't have the means. There you go. Stay with us.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good.
Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Cave. This time around in the man cave, it's pretty interesting what happened in the tennis world today. I watched the men's final, a big chunk of the men's final, the French Open, and I'm a longtime tennis fan. I've covered in my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I talk about it. I've covered, I want to say 15 U.S. Opens and then I guess gone for fun too. Really, it seems like I'm always doing a media thing. But one of the people that I've seen a bunch is Novak Djokovic, and I saw him when he first came on the scene, and he really ticked a lot of people off. It was the way he would behave on the court, that kind of thing, and he was taking on the titans like Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal, and he knocked off Rafa Nadal, who's the king of clay. So if we were in the man cave, we would be talking about this. I know there's NBA to talk about and so many other things, like where in the world is Aaron Rodgers and what is he going to do next, because it is Rodgers, 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 Rodgers conversation every single moment of the day in Green Bay, certainly, and people are listening to us in Wisconsin, and I feel you. It just reminds me so much of the Brett Favre conversation that happened a long, long time ago. So Stefanos Tsitsipas from Greece, fifth-ranked, really gave Novak Djokovic, a scare in the finals. He won the first set 7-6. And he won that in a tiebreaker, 8-6, so it was just a couple of points. Then he won the second set 6-2, so now you figure, well, he's got Djokovic on the ropes, right? And no, the Joker comes back 6-3, 6-2, 6-4. I mean, there was some edge of your seat tennis here. I don't know how anyone returns either one of their shots, frankly. I'm serious. It's like at times it's like BBs going across the net. But what I love that the Joker did afterwards is he gave a kid his tennis racket. So he went over to the side and handed the kid the tennis racket, and the kid just went, I mean, crazy nuts, crazy excited, jumping up and down. They kept the camera on him. And so you thought, wow, that's a nice guy move, and look how excited he is. But it turns out there was a little more to that story. Here's what he had to say about why he gave that racket to the young boy.
Well, I don't know the boy, but he was in my ear the entire match, basically, especially when I was 2 sets to love down. He was encouraging me. He was actually giving me tactics as well. He was like, hold your serve, get an easy first ball, and then dictate, go to his backhand. Like, he was coaching me, literally. And so I thought, I found that very, very cute and very nice. And, so, you know, I felt like it was, you know, to give the racket to the best person was him, after the match. So that was kind of my gratitude for him sticking with me and supporting me.
All right, so there you go. Djokovic rallied, wins his second French Open, his 19th slam, so that's a major, 19 majors. He's really creeping up there. He's in such great shape. He feels like everything is possible, and he has his sights set on what they call the golden grand slam of all four majors and the Olympic title, but he makes history with what he was able to do at the French Open, coming back down those two sets, and he's eyeing the big guys, Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer. He's 34, and he's one shy of the record shared by Federer and Nadal. He became the first man in the Open era since 68 to win all four majors twice, and it's the sixth comeback by anyone from two sets down in an Open era Grand Slam final. That's just enough statistics for anyone, right? So it was exciting. It went on forever. It was like 4.5 hours long. So in between, I was able to walk the dog, come back. I knew for sure this thing was going to be going on, and I was able to see what happened there. When is too many shots enough? Like, when do you have to say, I call it a day. I'm not going to keep swinging and swinging and swinging at the same ball. And, you know, there was a movie called Tin Cup, and that's exactly what happens in Tin Cup. So, you know, it's like, I think I hear a golf swing behind. It's like sometimes the golf swing follows me around. I think I hear it. There it is. Can you hear it? Just like slamming that golf ball. There was a golfer who went after a ball 10 times, went to hit it 10 times, and 10 times is too many. Everybody knows that when you're playing miniature golf, for goodness sake, it's only 8. And then you're off, right? So if you're playing mini golf, that's what happens. You're out, right? So to hit the spectators again and hit again and again and again and again, even if it's the feeder tour, it's time to call it quits. And that happened today. And I'm going to save the golfer the embarrassing moment. I'm not even going to tell you who it is. If you can guess who it is, I will send you a copy of all of my books, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. I promise we'll tell you later in the week. I have to use that as a tease to see if anybody was paying attention, because I think so many people in the world of watching sports are paying attention to really the NBA and what's happening with these OTAs in the NFL. So the Bucks beat the Nets 107-96 on Sunday in the East. That series now tied at 2. That is pretty It's pretty big because it looked like the Nets were running away in the beginning, and apparently that's not the deal now. So now that series continues on. We'll see what happens on Wednesday for that game 5 in New Jersey. As for the other Sunday game, the Suns won their series easily. They beat the Nuggets 125-118, and it was a sweep, 5-0. Chris Paul, just amazing. 37 points, 3 boards, 7 assists, part of the reason why that team is just that good. Then coming up on Monday, the 76ers and the Hawks will tangle again in Atlanta. Philly leads that series in the East 2-1. The Clippers and the Jazz are the later game on Monday. Utah leads that series 2-1. It's fun to watch Donovan Mitchell, the shooting guard from Utah, and then Kawhi Leonard is just a machine for the Clippers. And when he's on and he's hitting threes all over the place, very deadly for the Clippers. But Utah has had some answers. I think some people thought that it would be much easier for the Clippers, but the Jazz have a lot of heart, so I wouldn't count them out of it. All right, where in the world is Aaron Rodgers? Like I said, that's the question everybody keeps asking. And the answer is, well, hey, it's still the off season, and they have not figured out, Green Bay has not figured out what is happening yet here. They're adding quarterbacks, but they've got now 5 quarterbacks on the Green Bay roster. So anybody got a couple of walk-ons we can throw in here? We'll do that. I mean, because the way it would be now, you've got Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, Blake Bortles, and Kurt Benkert, and now they added another quarterback. Rodgers was a holdout during mandatory minicamp, and the Packers gave Jordan Love most of the work in the team periods, including, or instead of the dividing reps during 11-on-11s, he took the majority of the snaps. Of the 31 snaps on Thursday, last Thursday, Love took 26, Bortles got 2, Benkert got 3, so there you have it. This is not what the Packers want, and they're trying to, I don't think downplay, but they're trying to not constantly talk about what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and is Aaron Rodgers going to be there or not. It is the big mystery, and mystery unanswered right now, right? They're not holding back any offense. They're just doing what they have to do in these practices. And the Packers are going to be at full fan capacity for all games and training camp practices this year. They announced that last week, so will they see Rodgers or not? Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
As the G7 summit closed on Sunday, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced that the 7 nations had agreed to donate 1 billion doses of COVID vaccine to the rest of the world. In a statement, Johnson said those doses would be distributed either directly or through the UN's COVAX program. He announced earlier this week that the UK would donate 100 million doses over the next year, along with President Biden's announcement that the U.S. would be donating 500 million doses starting this August. And four states have become the first to end federal unemployment benefits for their residents. Alaska, Iowa, Missouri, and Mississippi ended the expanded federal assistance for nearly 340,000 workers in their states. More than half of states have announced plans to wrap up the federal assistance. The program, which provides an extra $300 a week federally, has been extended through September. The governors of those states argue that as their economies reopen, the extra benefits are no longer needed and could be keeping some from seeking employment. You're listening to USA Radio News. The average price of regular grade gasoline rose 2 cents to $3.13 per gallon over the last 3 weeks. John Clements reports.
The price did reflect an increase of 95 cents higher than this time last year. But according to industry analyst Trilby Lundberg, the spring demand rush has yet to commence.
The spring demand rush, as we might normally call it, simply did not materialize so far because of price, because of general inflation, and because the work commute is still grossly reduced.
The highest average price across the nation is the San Francisco Bay Area at $4.31 a gallon, compared to Baton Rouge at $2.60. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
And one of the victims of Saturday's mass shooting in Austin, Texas, has died of his wounds. Austin police say the 25-year-old man died around noon on Sunday. He was one of 14 people shot early Saturday morning at a popular downtown bar district in the city. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
On Author's Corner, boy, I am really pleased to introduce you to Catherine Kennedy. She's in our virtual green room, and I think she's a stone's throw away from St. Andrews. I know that she went to school at St. Andrews University, and many people have heard me talk about my experiences there being trapped in a bunker. So, you know, the golf thing. She's written 2 books, and she has quite a gift that we're going to get into, and you're going to want to pay attention to what Catherine has to say. One of the books is The Light World. The other is Who Said No One Has Ever Come Back to Tell Us? Catherine, thank you so much for coming on.
It's a pleasure to be here, Kate. Thank you for inviting me.
So first of all, let's talk about the gift that you have that you didn't know you had.
I've known for a long, long time that I have a healing gift. But what's been happening to me in the last 8 years is completely different from that. It's where I sit in trance, but I'm not in a trance. I'm very aware of what's going on around me. And Jesus appears over my face, and he talks to us, and he then, whoever I'm sitting with, he brings through their deceased relatives, their loved ones, and they come through love. I can't do this myself, and I don't conjure up spirits. Jesus comes through. The proof is people recognize their loved ones. So they can't say, oh, that's all fake. They could do that, you know, it's not really Jesus. He's very clever. He comes through and then he brings through the souls of their loved ones. And I can, there's no way you could make that up, because seeing is believing. It's the proof. So he's a very clever God, isn't he?
Very clever. And you say, too, to me, some of that proof is, to be honest, for everybody listening, for the listeners, is that you really, you know, as a child, you were told, oh, that someone passes on, they go to heaven. And you thought that was like, eh, you know, you didn't really get that. You weren't embracing that principle. And now you know it.
Exactly. And I hope to, my aim, and this is what Jesus is using me for, is to teach others that Jesus is alive and he is. And so are your relatives alive in heaven.
And
they don't rest in peace. They're very, very busy over there.
And do you think that gives, well, I think it does. You know, I lost my father at 8 and I lost my mother to cancer, you know, 8 years ago. It's really tough to go through that. And you do grapple with, oh, this is it, you know, oh, this is horrible. Do you think it gives people peace, including yourself, knowing that?
Very much so. The reason I sort of set out in this quest looking for Jesus, I mean, I used to go into churches and look at the statues and say, just wink at me and I wouldn't tell anybody. Just let me know you're real. Of course, all these things you do as a child, and nothing ever happened. So the healing was the proof to me, because there have been many miracles have happened with people who have come to me for healing. And it's all done quietly. There's no fanfare or trumpet. They just are healed. They're excited about it, delighted. And off they go, and you may never see them again. And then someone else comes along, and that's the way it goes. And I preferred it that way, actually. But now I'm, as Jesus said, he said, I'm going to catapult you out into the world. And I thought, what does he mean by that? I mean, he kept saying it over and over again. And now I know what he means, because being on your show and other shows, that's catapulting me out into the world, wouldn't you say so?
I would absolutely say that. So let's talk specifically about the light world. Tell us what somebody can expect when they read that.
The Light of the World is a series of vignettes of the trances. We recorded the trances and then we edited them, and I just put it into a book because Jesus asked me to. He said, I want you, and he chose the title, The Light of the World, because that's what he is. I wrote out a few titles, and he chose that one. I'd written Heaven Speaks and a few other titles, and I wrote The Light of the World, and I thought, oh, there's too many The Light of the World. But that's what he wanted, because he is The Light of the World, so that's why I chose that one. And the book describes what has happened in the trance, and Jesus comes through. And I say that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he knew that the Roman soldiers were coming for him, I didn't know that he was in such fear at that moment. He actually sweated blood coming through his skin. I didn't know that. And I don't know if William, I can't remember, but all I remember was feeling this terrible fear. And you don't think because he's Jesus that he felt that, but he did. Because he made me, I didn't feel physical pain, but he made me feel his anguish and the agony on the cross. And he even, when the Roman soldier put some vinegar in the sponge and held it up, he was making me, he was moving his head around, and William said, that's him being given the vinegar. So I was mimicking or miming or what you want to call it, Jesus' passion. He made me live it, enact it. And it was fantastic at the time when, you can imagine how we felt at the end of it, when I yelled and then I died supposedly and Jesus put his head down. And when I say I came to, I wasn't in a trance. I just look as though I'm in a trance, but I'm not. And when we came to, we were speechless because we didn't know what to say. And William has known me for about 30 years, and he knows me well. And there's no way that I would ever do anything like that. Well, I couldn't put the face on my face anyway, but he knows that I couldn't act to save myself, you know. It was just so fantastic. We were speechless. We didn't know what to say. And we were saying, is that who we thought it was? Was that really Jesus who came through? And it was, because subsequent chances he would come through and he changes his face. He'll say to me, I'm going to glow golden. And then I hear the person saying, I see Jesus and his face is glowing golden. Someone else, he said to this friend, Margaret, there's a group of us in doing the chant. Well, I was doing the chant with this group. And Jesus said to me internally, I'm going to show Margaret my crown of thorns. So the next thing I heard Margaret say, I can see his crown of thorns, but the others couldn't. And then Jesus said to me, tell Margaret this is my gift from me to her. And the reason that she was given this gift is she's a devout Catholic. And she lives in Mexico at the moment, and she helps the sisters there in looking after the poor children over there. And that, so Jesus was acknowledging what she was doing by showing her the crown of thorns, and no one else saw that. People have seen it since, but that particular day, it was for this friend only. So these are the sort of things that are happening, and I still go, wow.
Yeah, it is a wow. It is a wow, and you can find more of these stories, as you're talking about, in the book, The Light of the World. I wanted this other book, too. The title is exactly what we're talking about. Who said no one has ever come back to tell us? So tell us about this book.
Well, the reason I wrote that was, first of all, my mother who's in spirit and my friend Marcello who's in spirit, who comes and speaks to us, they said to me, you've got to write a book about your life and get it out there that we're all here and we're alive and heaven is real. And so I did, but all my life I've heard people saying, oh well, no one's ever come back to tell us. And I thought, well, that's not true. People are coming back all the time, and especially when I am giving people healing, because they know what I believe in and what's been happening with me, they open up and tell me their own spiritual experiences. And a lot of them, they've said, we've never told anybody this because we think they would, people would laugh at them. There's one story in particular was in the cathedral in Dundee, where I live quite near there. There's a woman there who, after I wrote something for the church about the healing, and I really thought I was going to get an avalanche of people putting me down and saying whatever. Well, that didn't happen. There was a lot of people really were delighted with the article. And this one woman in particular, she was an ex-retired school teacher and a stalwart person of the church, a leading light in the church, a lovely person. Anyway, she came over to congratulate me on my article. And she said, I'm going to tell you something I've never told anyone. She said, once she was invited to a wedding in a Catholic church. And the people there, I don't know whether it was the priest or the elders or whoever it was, said to her and the group she was with, you can't come up for communion because you're not Catholic. So they all said, okay, that's the law of the church. And she said she was sitting there and she had her eyes down and she said, I don't know what made me look up. And she looked up and there was Jesus standing in front of her. And he was pointing to the communion table. And what he was saying was, communion's for all. So she got up and all her friends got up and they all went up to the altar and received communion. And she kept that to herself for all these years.
Wow.
So what? Jesus was appearing all over.
What a beautiful story. I want to make sure we tell that people they can get both of your books on Amazon. Plus you have a website, Catherine-Kennedy.com, and it's Catherine spelled with a C, so C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. So
yes.
You know, if you look that up, that's the way to find Catherine. And wow, what an incredible gift you have. And what a delight to have you on the show. We could talk all day. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Great. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Salafa Ajakunde joins us now from London, and she's written a fascinating book called Searching for Greener Pastures. And wow, what a journey, and this novel encapsulates it. So, Dolapo, thank you so much for coming on. Let's talk about why you wrote this novel.
I bought this novel as a personal experience in the UK, and for people out there who may be in my position already in England or trying to come into the UK or any foreign country, it doesn't have to be the UK. Think twice before making a journey of just putting yourself with your family, coming to live in a country where the language is not your first language, where you're not going to have recourse to public funds, where you're going to struggle to survive, where you're bringing children. You're coming from a background where your children are comfortable, you are comfortable, you've got a driver, you've got your home. You've got everything at your disposal. Suddenly, you find yourself in a situation where you come into a cultural shock. Nobody's there, no family to help you look after. Probably back home, your grandmother is there, your parents are there, your friends are there. You then come into a country where you've got your child at school. You've got to walk around the clock. You are not there most of the time for your children because the social support is not there for you. So you just have to live a life of struggle all the time. And unfortunately, the children are growing. Children are a free spirit. They have not asked you to uproot them. They've not asked you to bring you So you've got that responsibility and duty to make sure they're okay. You are trying to raise children that you don't want them to have complex. You don't want them to have low self-esteem. So in order not to do this, you keep struggling to do more work, to get more money, so that you put a roof over their head, you put them in a comfortable accommodation, you meet their needs, that yes, that your children are growing up well and not seeing themselves as somebody living on, for example, in England, what you call school meals. If a child is there having to have recourse to school meals, that is, you cannot afford to pay for the feeding of these children, then the government tells you, most children are not happy. Where you're coming from, you have not seen yourself living as a charitable case. So you still want to keep that, your dignity that you've got as a parent. So what you do is to keep yourself, making sure you are gainfully employed. But unfortunately, from my experience, it has a negative effect on the children, because you find out that while you're struggling to survive financially, you have very little time for your children.
Yeah, so the title, Searching for Greener Pastures, is exactly that. You think you're in a country where, wow, I can get a leg up, we can do better, if we go to a westernized, big-time capitalistic place like England or someplace else, and then you make that journey, and when that realization hits you, you're in the chaos, you're in the whirlwind, and what do you do? I mean, how do you stop it? So what did you do, and what do you talk about in the novel with the characters? How do you center yourself? How do you survive it?
It was challenging. It was hard because we moved to England on a student visa, and that was dependent on me. So the family, the husband, the children depended on my visa, which means I could not afford not to go to the unit to study. I had to make sure I did not only study, I couldn't afford to fail, to have a receipt, because everything means I've got to keep paying. For us to survive as a family, I had to, at the same time, not just work full-time, so not just study full-time, work part-time. At this point in time, I had to work more hours than a part-time student would. My Saturdays were not free, Sundays were not free, evenings were not free. Every day I'm back home looking after the little time I have for the little children. I've still got to spend some time with them. And then I rush out again. Rush to the uni, come back, do my coursework. There are times, 2-3 o'clock in the night, I'm awake, trying to meet deadlines. 5-6 o'clock, I'm up again in the morning. Then in between Sundays, I have to go to church to still make sure the values are passed on to the children. And then this now brings a strain on the family, on the children, on the husband, everybody, the whole family is now disjointed. Nobody is there for each other. The husband is not there for the wife is not there for the husband, I'm not there for the children. And everybody is hurting. Everybody is in pain, unfortunately. I did not realize this pain that the children were going through until we got to the end of the road and things got better. And I saw my children then that they had actually drifted away from me. And when we sat down to talk, while I was trying to protect the younger ones, they did not know what mommy and daddy were going through. And they were, sometimes their heart was full of resentment. This was us trying to protect them and not telling them that it was hard, it was difficult. You keep food on the table, the roof is a bed. They didn't know what we were going through. They thought life was a bed of roses like the other children they were saying. And when we got to eventually discuss it, it was very heartbreaking for everybody. Because at a point in time, I was thinking nobody really, I was a sacrificial lamb, I said to them, because I did not have a choice than to do what I'm doing. And they said to me, what about us? I said, what about you? You are there, you're comfortable. They said, no, but most of the time you are not there for us. And then I had to make them know. It's not that mommy did not want to be there for you. Mommy didn't want to be out all the time. But for us to do this, to keep the status of visa status, to keep living lawfully, we just had to do what we had to do.
Yeah.
So it is challenging. It is tough, not just for me, but for everybody who finds themselves in England where the government supports people with children. Unfortunately, you find yourself in the same system. We've got children and we're supporting for them.
So when people read Searching for Greener Pastures, and you can get it on Amazon, what do you hope they take away?
Well, I want people, first and foremost, to know before leaving home, it matters a lot. Nobody's telling you not to go. But before going, you need to make sure, do I want to make this journey? If I do, with the whole family, do I want to go first and see, make a life for myself? What sort of visa status am I going to be on? Is it one that would allow me to work full-time? Or is it one that would be dependent on a particular thing where I'm there as a full-time student and I can only work as part-time? If I do this, will I be having enough money? Am I going on a work visa? Because if you go on a work visa, then it's like you don't have to study unless you make a choice of it. So first and foremost, think of the type of visa you want to go on to travel. Secondly, look at the life of the children you are taking. If I go with my children, how am I going to cope? What sort of accommodation will we be able to afford? How much is my income at the end of the month? How am I going to look after my children? What family, what support will I have for these children if I am not there? If you have done your research and you think you're fine, you then have to start thinking of the culture. What sort of culture am I going to find myself? How complex is the culture? Because I tell you, Kate, the cultural values, the lives and all in England, it is just way, way apart from where I come from. There's a lot to learn. And the sad thing is, there's no orientation. Nobody tells you when you come in that this is a lifestyle. And most times, most of us get ourselves involved with the system without us meaning to. Where we come from, the way we talk to our children, what we mean by eye contact, that if it's not there in England, the way it is looked at. If I'm talking to you as an elderly person where I come from, I cannot look at you straight in the eye. If I do that, it means I am rude. England is not so. So most of these things, we don't have knowledge of it. Where I come from, I can just go and knock on my friend's door. Without me, I can pass by, tell you, oh, Kate, are you home? The next 5 minutes, I'm with you. England is not so. You then find yourself in a system where you become very lonely. That's the way most of us find ourselves, that it's very difficult to make friends. Then we start losing our identity. So you need to start thinking, am I going to put myself in a situation where, if I'm not careful, my identity is completely lost? But unfortunately, where we are trying to lose our identity, it becomes a problem again. Because then you see yourself losing a fake life. And then resentment again, I keep saying, it comes in. Because you are living in the country, you don't have a choice. Going back home is not an option as at that time, because whatever you've got at home, you've left it, you've moved in. This is a new life for you. Unfortunately, you are not settling into this new life. What do? You get to a state, you find yourself stuck. You are not happy. The children are not happy. The husband is not happy. And then it's like a life of torture. You just have to keep. So if you're going to make a journey, you've got to think of a lot of things. Cultural differences is there. You find yourself in a cultural shock. It is very shocking.
Wow. I think that's the lesson in the book, Searching for Greener Pastures, Dolapo. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
So much, Kate.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.